Psychological safety at work. How do you stop worrying about being judged? See, we were taught to follow a playbook that really had nothing to do with what mattered to the individual. Why is this important? See, from the very beginnings, we were taught to do what we were told to do inside the box that we've been given. And this created this perpetual hamster wheel of everybody copycatting each other. Now, I realize that part of what standardization does, it tries to standardize everything so that it's in control. But that's what's changed. It's no longer in control. What's happened now, it's become less about the business defining the individual and much more about the individual defining the process towards a shared mission.
You are listening to Personalization Outbreak, a podcast about the collapse of traditional corporate standards in today's more personalized world. I'm Glenn Yopis. I'm a leadership strategist, author, contributor to Forbes, and founder of the Leadership in the Age of Personalization movement. On this show, I'm interviewing executives across multiple sectors to find out how the balance between standardization and personalization can exist.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Personalization Outbreak Podcast. In season five, we're mixing it up a little bit. What are we doing? Well, some weeks I'll be interviewing special guests from corporate environments, from healthcare, and from higher education, and also best-selling authors to share their wisdom and insights during this time of uncertainty and volatility. But what I'll also be doing is I'll be sharing stories with you, stories that I've experienced throughout my day-to-day with clients, with experts in their field, with some of the most world-renowned thought leaders. So today, this one's just you and me, and we're going to be talking about how do you create psychological safety at work? In other words, we'll be having conversations about opportunities to recognize that we oftentimes limit ourselves and our business and our ability to evolve and really grow our human capacity at a time where we need it the most. So psychological safety at work. How do we stop worrying about being judged? Today, we're going to explore one question to understand the answer to this question. Do you start the process by changing the work environment, working with the individual, or both? Well, before we get started, please click the like button below, share it with your colleagues, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and social media at Glenn Yopis. Psychological safety at work. How do you stop worrying about being judged? This is a big question that's on so many people's minds right now. I mean, you could imagine, right now we are dealing with so much volatility and risk, but why is that and how did we get here? And how about if I told you that it was because of psychological safety and the lack thereof at work? Let me explain. See, large institutions were designed to create efficiency, to essentially program people to work in a certain way so that when you brought together all that standardized ways of operating, that it would help us create a level of predictiveness that we could actually measure. But what happened over the years? Let me see if this lands with you. See, we were taught, and I'm talking about my generation, and this is carried over because we continue to see these old, outdated standards ring true today. See, we were taught to follow a playbook that really had nothing to do with what mattered to the individual. Why is this important? See, from the very beginnings, we were taught to do what we were told to do inside the box that we've been given. What did this mean? Well, at first it meant that we were essentially becoming wired and programmed to assimilate to the ways people were thinking, especially people in influential leadership roles, because if they were being promoted, well, maybe I should assimilate the ways I behave at work to those that are getting recognized for their work. And this created this perpetual hamster wheel of everybody copycatting each other. Now, there are few exceptions, of course, but very rare and far in between. Why am I sharing this? Because what large institutions unknowingly have done, they've created environments that are not safe, especially now when we've realized that for all the years that especially leaders of these large organizations and institutions, see, they were taught to assimilate. Now you have people in the workplace that don't want to assimilate. They actually want to be more of who they are. Now, I realize that part of what standardization does, it tries to standardize everything so that it's in control. But that's what's changed. It's no longer in control. What's happened now, it's become less about the business defining the individual and much more about the individual defining the process towards a shared mission. So what in the world does this have to do with psychological safety at work? Has to do with it quite a bit. Why? Because see, psychological safety begins with you, the individual. But does it? Well, we're going to start with that argument first. Why does it? Well, because see, when we go into a meeting or when you're part of having to contribute to an organization, the question is, will you do this based upon who you are and what you stand for? Are you going to do this based upon putting a lot of pressure on yourself to be what others people want you to be rather than what you seek to be yourself? And that's kind of what's happened now, is that people are battling the gulf between assimilation and authenticity more than ever before. And that is absolutely exhausting. It's exhausting. Why? Because we're having to play the role of multiple personas. So what does that mean? When we're part of a meeting, let's just stick with the meeting. Automatically, we're walking into that meeting, for the most part, not being ourselves because we're overthinking. We're so concerned about how other people are going to perceive our contribution. And not just that, we're afraid to speak up because we've become conditioned to doubt ourselves, because there will always be someone in the room that says, well, we just don't do it that way. Or, you know, hey, I understand where you're going with that, but that just doesn't work here. See, that's a sign that standardization is, it doesn't have the patience to matter or care for what matters, doesn't care about what matters to you. And so automatically we walk into an environment not feeling confident, not always, but often. Why? Because it depends about who are the people in the room. And what we have a tendency of doing is already being intimidated by the roles that people have, the titles that people have. In fact, do you even know the people in the room? We're going to talk about that in a moment. So number one, it starts with self. And here is my question to you. Don't you get exhausted being a part of meetings where people are talking about things that we have to do that is in complete opposite of the things that you believe in? Happens quite a bit, doesn't it? So part of what I want you to feel comfortable with, and I know that this is a bold statement, but there's not too many people that are prepared enough to solve for today's problems. Why? Because more often than not, we're following that overly standardized playbook that has existed for so long that in many respects, it's already become outdated to solve today's problems. So what do? We have meeting after meeting, meeting after meeting. And every meeting that we go to fuels us with anxiety because we're supposed to do this. And then leadership changes their mind and they're pivoting. And it's not that that's a bad thing, but when it becomes a constant thing, one thing's become clear that even every individual in the room is unsure of what they believe in. In fact, I'll go even so far to tell you that they don't even know who they are. See, they used to know who they were. They used to know that they were a title or part of a role that more often than not had the answers. But when now you're dealing in a world of difference, in other words, everybody looks the same, has a different point of view. Individuals now know that, hey, I want to do something that matters. I need purpose in how I can coexist within an environment. Because if I don't, I really can't be myself. Let me say that in a different way. I need to know who everybody is in the room and what I could expect from them before I know how I can best contribute. Now, this takes us to the environment. Question. In your department, in your teams, do you know everybody as an individual? Do you know what matters to them? Do you know what they stand for? Do you even know anything about their personal lives? See, this is the age of personalization. And this is where standardization and personalization have difficulty coexisting. Why? Because in standardization, everything was defined for you. In personalization, here you are trying to unleash the things that matter to you, but it's hard because the construct of standardization is so powerful, it makes you feel as if you can't take actions or pose an opinion based upon what matters to you. In other words, it makes the environment feel unsafe. It makes the environment feel unwelcomed. And I know today we're talking a lot about feeling that sense of belonging. And why do I think that that's difficult? I actually think that it's almost impossible to feel a sense of belonging when you don't even know who you are, let alone the people in the room. Let's address this another way. When's the last time that you asked somebody in that room before the meeting even started, how do you perceive me? And based on how you perceive me, how does that shape what you can expect from me? I know for many that may seem like an uneasy question, but see, those are the questions that we're actually ignoring because it puts us in a vulnerable position. In other words, when you ask somebody, how do you perceive me? Let me give you a heads up right now. Expect a response that you're not going to feel proud of. Why is that? Because we don't share enough of ourselves for people to know how they should perceive me. And as a consequence, oftentimes people will be expecting things from you that you won't be proud of either. Where am I going? When you don't know people in the room, when you don't know yourself, when you don't know how you're perceived, and you don't know what people expect from you, how can you create a safe environment? It's actually an environment of mass chaos, of distrust, and a lot of anxiety because we're trying to show up and contribute and make an impact and feel as if our ideas matter. But the environment has already been established for you to fail. And so what happens oftentimes is that we walk away from those, from the room, and we think that we're the problem, that I could have done more. Well, the truth is, there is truth to that, but there's more truth to that others in the room could have enabled you more. In other words, known you well enough and your capacities to know how you can best contribute. in a way that you don't feel that you're being judged. Let me go back to that and say it in every way. Everyone's judging everyone when they don't know you because they're making assumptions about who belongs where, doing what, and how. See, part of the reason why I'm sharing this story is because these things happen to people more than you might think. Let me give you one really tangible example. I was having a meeting with an HR executive, and this was the first time we had met and we were getting to know each other. In fact, we were talking a lot about how leadership is really in the age of personalization and how old, outdated standards are actually limiting our ability to show up as our best self, show up in a way that allows us to contribute with more meaning and purpose because there are things that we believe in and things that we feel like we can really make a difference with. And there was a point in the discussion where there was a silent pause, right? And I let it sit there. And then I asked this person the following question. Do you have a question for me about me as an individual that would perhaps help you get to know who I am and maybe give you a better sense of where this thinking comes from? And the individual said, yeah, no, I actually do have a question for you. See, I have these two problem employees that leaders from different departments that don't get along very well. And I went on and I explained why this might be happening, but it came back to the central point. Do you see me? Do you know me? These two people didn't see each other or know each other. These two people were fighting for a promotion because it was going to be one or the other. And the question then became, what kind of expectation have you given both of them for that promotion? And as a consequence, what have you done to perhaps influence this infighting in the organization? I mean, not only do they know each other or do they know each other well enough? That's question number one. But do you know each of them well enough? And there was silence. And then I asked this person or reminded this person of the following. You know, 20 minutes ago when I asked you the question, what question do you want to ask me about me so that you can get to know me as an individual and how perhaps this has shaped the way I think? And you didn't ask that question. Your default was wanting me to provide you advice on how to solve a problem that you're unable to solve yourself. And this person looked at me and said, I feel ashamed. I can't believe that I wasn't listening. I was listening to your question and being very selfish about mine. I said, well, look, if I didn't have a chance to already have a little conversation with you before I asked you this question, I would have felt offended. But see, this is what happens at work all the time, is it we're not listening to what matters to others. We're more focused on our own problems. Why does this happen? Because in this case, people don't trust the environment. So they're making assumptions about how they should act in it every single day. And we find ourselves in survival mode. In other words, you see what's happening here? Where do you start? The individual, the environment, or both? It has to be both. And in simple terms, we're starting all over again. And I know that when the pandemic started, to all the work that was being done with diversity, equity, and inclusion, we put a lot of effort in the individual. And not that that was bad, but we made the assumption that the environment would be ready for those individual changes and things that we were hoping that we could aspire to be more of. See, this is why psychological safety continues to be a hot topic in the workplace. We haven't solved for it yet, because what we do is we have a tendency to solve personal issues, personal challenges through standardized means. So we'll just provide you a list of behaviors that you have to memorize. And apparently, poof, that's supposed to create psychological safety. Psychological safety begins with self. And it begins by knowing ourselves well enough to be able to ask questions that actually prompt more questions so that we can then solve for the right opportunities. And the first opportunity that we're supposed to be solving for is what? That everybody actually feels safe enough in the room so that we could express our thoughts and respect them so that we can take the accumulation of thoughts and ideas and ideals and make the right decisions. Instead, we have to memorize a bunch of behaviors and expect that everybody understands what those behaviors mean. And then what happens? Yeah, there may be some incremental improvement, but it's not solving for the issue. And from an organizational standpoint, we realize that, look, if I were to take 1,000 people from an organization that range from people 5 years and less to 20 years and up and 10 to 12 in between, the weighted average of our contributions every day are the same. Why do I say that? Because you have someone from 20 plus years that is so indelibly steeped in standardized thinking that was modeled by playbooks from the past that they're having difficulty adjusting to this age of personalization and can't quite contribute to today's challenges. While someone who may be there 5 years or less, they're still trying to figure out life, let alone their career, but they're asking questions that have been shaped by their generation. No, this is not about, Glenn, you're talking about things that have to do with younger generations. Well, the truth is, this is all about millennial and Gen Z enabled thinking. See, we don't know psychological safety in the age of standardization because it didn't matter what you felt. It didn't matter whether you were safe or not. But in the age of personalization, these younger generations are opening up our eyes to recognize that we just want to know who we are as individuals and contribute at our highest levels. And then there's people from my generation who are starting to think, you know what? I feel the same way. We create unsafe, unwelcome environments ourselves. Get to know the people and ask yourself, when you're having a meeting, do we have the right people on the room to see the right opportunities, to execute on those opportunities, to design the right approach to manage those opportunities, and then have the right time to reflect on them and ask ourselves if we could have done that process a better way? But instead, we can't even get close to that process because we don't know ourselves well enough. And because of that, we don't have the confidence and courage to ask questions that otherwise wouldn't be asked because we're too concerned about being judged. I hope this session helped, and I'll continue to provide stories as I continue to experience things in my day-to-day. But until then, remember this. When you lead in the age of personalization, you will see things that others don't. Do what others won't and keep pushing when prudence says quit. One final note. I'd love to leave you with a tool. And this tool is the Unleashing Individuality Assessment. Please pay a visit to glennyopis.com. And go to our assessment section, take the assessment at no cost. And if you do, here's what I ask you to do to make sure that we can make sure that we tag that you learned about this on this podcast. When you put your first and last name into the form, when you put your last name, put a dash after your last name and put podcast. Once you do that and complete the assessment, we'll reach out to you. What I like to do is send you a book because my job is to help you during this process of change and uncertainty, to help you navigate in ways that not only elevate your value, but to those around you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Personalization Outbreak. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. If you enjoyed the content, visit ageofpersonalization.com to check out our free streaming video series and learn how to get involved in the movement. I'm Glenn Yopis. I wish you a good day. And remember, without strategy, change is merely substitution, not evolution.